Welcome again to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. We love to see local churches send their missionaries well. My name is Ed Compion.
And my name is Jeff Jackson.
And we're continuing our series on the mission stream, that time where people recognize the missionary God is sending his best to go seek and save that which is lost and reconcile them to himself.
Yeah, and again, not to beat a dead horse at the beginning of every podcast, but the reality of it is when an individual or leaders within a local church grasp that the God they serve is the missionary God and always has been from the garden until he wraps everything up, it changes everything that they think about themselves and about the world. And what happens is this stream begins to flow that is in tune with God's heart. Actually, it's flowing out from God's heart, and we call that the mission stream. So from the headwaters of that theological understanding of who God is and that he is the missionary God, to the flow that begins, to the deepening and widening of that flow in a number of ways that we've covered, to the rapids, which we covered in our last podcast. Once those rapids have been encountered and overcome, there's victory through the rapids. Then comes what we're going to cover today, this idea of calm right before the missionary goes and the church sends him. And then what happens after the missionary has gone on the field, both in the missionary's life on the field and in the church and the individuals that send and care for them.
You know, Jeff, years ago, you and I were working with a missionary training facility down in Mexico. And one of our students that went through, you know, he eventually deployed to New Zealand, been serving wonderfully there. But he gave this illustration to me. He's actually a former, you know, airborne ranger with the military. And so he had all kinds of incredible training. And he said, you know, in the season leading up, just the moments before you leave for the field, it reminded him of the training he had. And, you know, he says, you would be crammed with all your fellow soldiers into a C-130. You have on your uniform, you have on your parachute, you have on your weapons and all your backpack, all this gear. He says, and you're flying and it's hot because you're crowded in and someone is, you know, inevitably getting sick and sometimes getting sick on you. So you're smelling this, you're smelling the engine. You're just, it's just horrible and loud and you just dislike it. He says, for a moment, you actually look forward to jumping out of an airplane.
It's a great analogy.
Because you get just a couple moments of peace
yeah.
until your parachute pops open.
Yeah.
And then you have to deal with the landing and all that other stuff.
Yeah, but the real business starts.
The real business starts. He says, yeah. But he says, you're actually, yeah. you just can't wait to get out of that crowd and float for a couple of moments. And that's what I think of as the peace
yeah.
that comes in the middle of the river.
I think so. And so prior to the actual departure, you know, to me, the calm, I think for the missionary is, hey, you know, they're now, they've had this target out there, this departure date. Everything's in order. Their funds are raised. They've got their team built. It's going to care for them within their church. Their church is behind them. The rapids, they're through the rapids. And now, you know, the reality that, hey, God's been faithful to get us to this point. There's this rest. There's this tranquility that comes on the heart of the missionary. You remember what it was like.
Sure.
I remember what it was like. At the same time, there's this apprehension of like, what on earth am I doing?
Sure.
But there's a calmness while you think those thoughts.
Well, it's a release into God's will.
That,
hey, man, I'm in this river. It's flowing.
Yeah.
And I'm watching some crazy things drift by me. But at the end of the day, God's in control. You know, you've had the approval from your church. Okay, we've met the financial goal in the support raising, so it's time to go.
Yeah.
You've probably given notice at your job, if that's the situation, or your degree's coming, or whatever that situation is. There's some deadlines being met, and it's just clear we're in the flow.
Yeah, and I love that description. I mean, in fact, I'm going to steal that.
Praise the Lord.
Released into the flow, you know. And I think so when you know that the flow you've been in is from God and you've overcome the obstacles, there is this incredible sense of comfort and peace and rest, you know, now that you've been released into the flow. So I think for the missionary, there's sort of like this, finally, God's hand has been so evident and there's a calmness even while they wonder, what on earth are we doing? For the church side and for the sender side, there's also that calm of like, you know what? We've contributed significantly. We have ownership in what these people are doing. We are invested in them. And when that approach departure date is on them, there's a sense of satisfaction, I think,
absolutely.
That the leadership of the church and the members of the church, especially those that know and love the missionaries personally, there's a sense of joy and satisfaction, fulfillment in that. That's just, it's just awesome.
I hope so. I feel bad when that doesn't happen with the missionary, but when the church is really behind that missionary, there's like this, I don't want to sound contradictory, but almost like a building tension that we're going to release someone and they're going out and they're going to be part of God's big plan to draw the nations to himself. And there's just a sense of completeness that's starting to develop.
And you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, at Shepherd Staff, we really strongly recommend that the home churches of our missionaries have a commissioning service, a sending out service, where now that you're in the comm, the date is there, they are going to leave within a short amount of time. At a Sunday morning gathering, you know, those missionaries are called up. Everybody in the body is informed that the time has come. They lay hands on them, and it's almost like this incredible release for them, and almost like this birthing experience that the church needs to experience. The loss of some of its specially integrated people, but for the good of the kingdom.
Yeah, it's that idea, you know, from Colossians 1:24 that there was something lacking, not in the salvation sense of the sufferings of Christ, but in the what needs for the gospel, the suffering that is the pipeline which the gospel of grace goes through.
Right.
And we're releasing, we're making a sacrifice of our best people for the sake of furthering that gospel.
Yeah, and there's, you know, expressing the whole idea that there's a cost, there's a price that we're willing to pay for God's glory and the good of other people.
And that brings that peace and the calm to the missionary as an individual and to the church as a whole that makes, you know, the people that make up the church, that they're part of this bigger plan, that God's working it out, and it brings a settlement, and it's good.
Yeah. Now, earlier, Ed, you were talking a little bit about, okay, now the missionaries go.
Right.
They've left, and now they're on the field. So tell us what it looks like, the calm looks like, for the missionary now that he's on the field.
Well,
actually there.
Yeah, well, they're actually on the ground. Probably not for the first season is there much calm. The first season is a little bit chaotic. Learning where to shop, you know, if getting children to school, if that's part of what's happening, certainly the language acquisition and stuff, there's probably moments of calm, but it's mostly moments of a bit of chaos. You know, just learning how to function, learning how to drive in a foreign country can be, you know, extremely hectic. But Lord willing, after a season, and usually it's about a year, language and culture acquisition, the formal part of it is usually completed. There's still always language and culture acquisition continues for the life of the missionary. But Lord willing, by a certain point, there's come to a sense of competency in those things. You're able to navigate. You're maybe at level 4, maybe pushing level 5 of language, and you're learning to navigate without offending too many people. The novelty of that entry into the culture is kind of gone. You know where your favorite restaurant is. You know where to find, you know, the Tabasco sauce in the foreign country or whatever the special thing is.
Yeah.
And then again, that calm comes. You're there, and you're able to actually share the gospel or do your other work, and you're building relationships. Again, that calm, Lord willing, is coming back into the setting, and you're now able to navigate and begin the work.
Yeah, and you know, all of this is the actual, you know, landing on the field is sort of really experiencing that whole paradox that you see time and time again, where the scripture says we're sorrowful yet always rejoicing.
Yeah.
And how Jesus, you know, I do this sort of as a message where, you know, Jesus in John 14, as he's with the disciples there, and he knows that within hours he's going to be arrested and murdered. They don't know what's going on. They just know he's acting strangely. And he says, you know, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And the whole idea that here's Jesus knowing that within hours he's going to be brutally beaten and murdered. And yet he's got such a peace and such a tranquility that he's thinking about them. He's equipping them. He's preparing them instead of being totally self-consumed, because he's at peace with God. He has the peace of God, and he promises that to his people. And so this is really seen, you know, where even though it's chaos when they get there and everything's new and sensory overload, all 5 senses are on overload because you're now living in another country with your wife and your kids, or maybe if you're single, that's where you're going to be for the next few years. In the midst of that, there's this peace of mind, this peace of heart that you're right in the center of God's will. You've been released, as you said, into God's will and God, the stream that God wants you to be in. And so in spite of the chaos going on around you, you can navigate successfully.
And it tends to be a season of productivity in the
yes,
ministry.
Yes, it does.
Now, I had a unique experience, and I hope most missionaries will have a similar experience in this. About 18 months after being on the field in Kenya, our pastor came to visit us. And we had kind of come to that place of peace where we knew how to get around. We could understand the traffic. I take that back. No one ever totally understands the traffic in Nairobi, but we somehow had a better control yeah. of our ability to get around in the traffic of Nairobi. And we understood where to shop. We had relationships with the nationals, and some of them were developing to be quite deep. So our pastor came, he spent time with us, and he was able to share that with the church. So it wasn't just our peace. Now the church knew and had to report back that the work is going forward. And so there was peace. There was sort of a, it's working. The crazy plan we had to send some family that we loved and cared about to a foreign land is actually paying off. The Lord is in this. There is progress in the gospel going forth.
And that really bridges over into the other thing that I wanted to talk about is, yeah, once the missionary's gone, the calm that the missionary is experiencing, even in the midst of the chaos on the field, and yet the challenges of the calm for the sending church once the missionaries actually are gone. Because whether we like it or not, no matter how much we love another person, when they're not in our sight, when we're not interacting with them in a real personal, interactive sort of way, they tend to be out of our minds. Out of sight, out of mind is a reality, and we have to be intentional about not letting that be the way we proceed. And, you know, ideally, as a church, its leaders and its members prepare to send one of their own, they've put in structures to help overcome the idea of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
There's you know, whatever ways of staying connected, either by Facebook, by writing, by Skype, or whatever, at least with a few key people, so that the church back here can recognize and hear from somebody they know and trust that the missionaries on the field do have calm in the midst of the chaos.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what happens, I think, you know, both Hale and Linkenfelter kind of write about this. There's a season for the missionary there where the chaos of the initial immersion into culture is truly chaotic. And then after a season, they kind of come back above where there may even be a season where they resent things in that culture. And then mm-hmm. eventually they come to a point where they're enjoying it again, where they're doing it. And when this is communicated back into the home church, that they've not only kind of come above that level, they're actually thriving and doing well. The Lord has been good to them. This brings that church into peace. The communication begins to show that, and they want to get behind it even more.
And you know, one of the interesting things that I've seen over the years after we got back from the field and working with numbers and numbers, literally, you know, probably close to 100 churches that send missionaries, is that process of preparing to send is a beautiful thing as it's happening. And you need to pay attention to it and set up structures that are going to work once the missionary goes. But honestly, the work really becomes once the missionary's gone.
Yeah.
In other words, it's harder and it takes more intentionality to stay connected to the missionary once they're gone than it did while the missionaries were here. And it takes you know, leaders and people that know and love those missionaries, in a sense, for lack of a better word, agitating.
Yeah.
For the missionary that's on the field now that they're gone. Because if you have out of sight, out of mind, and you know and love them and you're a deep relation with them, how much more for the people in the church who just kind of have surface relationships with them? They know of them, they know about them, they're praying for them, but they don't have that deep relationship.
I know, Jeff, as I've worked with some of the churches that, you know, we're so proud to work with here at Shepherd Staff, I've reminded them that once this missionary is gone, you need to work very hard at this care team surviving.
Yes.
Because
yes.
That outside out of mind happens. There's no longer kind of the buzz of the missionaries getting ready to go to the field.
That's right.
And if they can keep that care team gathering, I would hope even more than monthly, more mm-hmm. often than monthly, mm-hmm. that there would still continue to be that prayer and that relationship. Skype meetings are still being set up with the missionary on the field. These sort of things happen. And again, this continues the calm that they can make their way down the river. When that care team starts to disintegrate, when Monday night football starts to take over, whatever the challenges may be, mm-hmm. That's when the waters can get a little disturbed again.
Yeah, and you know, I like to use a lot of different analogies from the military, from my time in the military. I think there's just so many on-ramps that help explain the Christian experience from the military. Even if you haven't been in the military, most people have been exposed to it enough to understand these things. But if you think about the idea, especially when our country is at war, like it has been, you know, regularly, you know, before somebody in your family, a cousin, somebody, you know, is in the military and they're going to be deployed, you love them incredibly while they're ready to go. Amen. Once they go, your interest in them actually increases. Mm-hmm. Your prayer for them increases. Your willingness to take the effort to find out how they're doing increases once they're gone, because you know what they're facing over there. And so if we can have that same kind of mentality, and it needs to be stirred up, it needs to be led by key people and leaders in local churches, but to say, hey, now that the missionaries are gone, in a sense, they're on the front lines. And now is even more important than before they left, for us to come together and make sure the supply lines are there, the communication lines are there, all the resources they need access to are there for them. Hey, our job is more important now than it was before they left.
Yeah, absolutely. And what that home church does with its nurture team and with other tools that may be in place is it's increasing the calm for the missionary in the field, which again is going to increase effectiveness. And I don't want to just, you know, get out of the side of the realm of we rely on the Spirit of God, not practicalities. But when we have our missionaries in a calm place, they're going to be more effective on the field, and especially when crisis comes, they can remain in a calm place.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I saw while I was over there, and I'm sure you've seen it too, Ed, and even more so now with the world in the condition that it's in and threats from every conceivable angle, when a missionary on the field has the peace of God and the calm of God in the midst of a chaotic situation, that's a great testimony to the nationals. Amen. Because the nationals that they're trying to reach, A, they recognize this person has paid a price to come all the way over here to represent Jesus to me. Their God must be important. He must be really worthy for them to give up as much as they have had to come over here. Secondly, they're living in conditions here that they don't need to live in. They're Americans. They can be back in America and have access to stuff that we don't have here. So they've been willing to give up that stuff. And then when the crisis comes, when those events, natural catastrophes or whatever happens, and the Americans have the right, the freedom and the resources to get out of there, and yet they stay in the midst and out of a calm, peaceful heart minister to those nationals, that just speaks volumes to those people about our God's love for them.
You know, Jeff, and certainly the primary reason we're there is to minister to the nationals, of course. It also speaks volumes to the people back here.
Yes, it does.
It really does. And again, it completes that relationship, those tethers of connection back with your home church.
Yes.
And the other churches that are involved with you as well, and the other individuals. They know that. They say, well, they have the ability to leave.
Yes.
And they choose not to.
Yes.
There's a calm and a peace among them.
Yeah.
Doesn't always feel like a common piece in the middle of those days.
Yeah.
But there's a decision here that we're trusting in the Lord, and it's going to further the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And you know, another area like that, and outside of a disaster, is I remember, you know, specifically that when we were on the field, and, you know, because, again, we are Americans, we have access to resources. Missionaries that stay on the field, like over Christmas holiday, when the nationals know that Christmas is the biggest holiday, it's the biggest family gathering for Americans, and they know that we have the ability, the resources to go back to the States to be with our families at the biggest family gathering of the year, and we choose to stay on the field and stay living among these people, that again speaks volumes to them about their value in our God's eyes and God's value in our eyes, and it's a great expression of the depth of His love for them, and they receive that.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Well, as we continue down this stream, we're now in that calm area, Lord willing, and Lord willing, both the churches and the missionaries will experience, have a season of this calm.
Yeah.
We'll get a little further down the stream as we go, but anything else you would add, Jeff?
No, I would just kind of, I would kind of think, you know, I was thinking about either a church plant, a new church plant, or B, a church that's been going for a while, but has really never been engaged in missions, and now they've caught the reality that their God is the missionary God. Until, you know, every local church, I believe, will have at some point in its life one of its members called by God to go to the mission field.
I hope so.
If that's not happening, there's something not healthy about that church. But until that happens, until God calls that first person from that church to go, the whole mission stream should still be flowing.
Yes.
With those members of that church getting behind people that are already out there or people that are not part of their body that are on their way to the field. And so the mission stream, I think, because it's the outflowing of God's heart, and it's the outflowing of his heart and his love for all people, those churches and the people that know and love him, they're going to be in the mission stream.
Yeah.
Whether one of them is called to go yet or not, they're going to find ways to be part of that stream. And all that we've talked about in this series will be things that they're going to encounter.
Well said, well said. If you're enjoying this, we encourage you right now to go over to iTunes and subscribe. And we also encourage you, please give us a review or contact us with any other input you may have. Until we speak again, may the Lord bless you and keep you.